Welcome to our Favorite Things podcast, hosted by your fave Nigerian best friend duo, Tiesa.
And your girl, Mofi. Our show is a space for Black folks in the diaspora and at home to feel warm, seen, and informed through conversations about life, community, and a bit of social critique.
Come for our faves, stay for the laughs. Hey y'all, welcome back to the podcast. I hope y'all are doing well. Thanks so much for hanging with us today. If you're new here, welcome. We hope you stay. And if you're not, thanks for coming back to listen to our episodes. We have a great episode for you today, fingers crossed. So sit back, relax, and let's get into it. Mofi, what's up? How you doing?
I am doing good. Well, I'm doing okay. Good is a reach at this point. I'm doing well. I moved. So I just moved apartments or moved into my own space since I got back to Canada. So that has been nice. It has been different, actually, because now I have roommates or housemates. How do y'all say? What do you say? Do you say you have housemates?
You know, we interchange, actually. I say technically we are housemates, but I say roommates. But yeah, I guess roommates, they know that they live in the same room as you, right?
Yeah, that's what I think. Like, either, like, yeah, roommates is that. There's housemates, there's flatmates as well. But yes, I have new housemates. And that is very interesting to me because I haven't had housemates in a while or, like, people that I've shared space with. Mm-hmm. I would say maybe, like, in almost, like, 4 years or so.
And that's so interesting. Because you lived alone for a while.
Yeah. So it's been interesting getting back to that space of like shared space or like having people around you-ish. Like my roommates pretty much have like similar temperaments where like folks are kind of like doing their own thing. No one's like really like in each other's business or hanging out in like the common areas of bots. So yeah, that's my newest adjustment at this point in time in my life.
Hopefully the dynamic stays like, you know, chill, neutral. I feel like there's nothing worse than living with people that the dynamic stresses you out.
Right.
You spend a lot of time at home.
Mm-hmm. And like it's little habits, right? Like it's not even, sometimes it's not about the people. It's just about like the little like habits and things that like, people do.
Exactly.
Exactly. That could become issues or non-issues.
Yeah.
People have been coming for me, though. People are like, it's giving, like, undergrad or it's giving, like, university life. And I'm like, why?
Why? Why? No. And it's a house, too, no?
Yeah, it's a townhouse.
Please. It's giving mature and I'm economical with my funds.
Exactly. That's what's up. Have housemates now. But how are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. I am loving the weather in the Bay this week. We're having precious, wonderful spring weather where it's like nice and sunny, but it's also, you're also getting that it's slight cool breeze. Like it's not windy where it's too cold, but it's just lovely. Literally going to be in my bathing suit in the backyard this afternoon. Okay. That's how excited I am.
My girl, as a true Californian.
Yes,
I don't know if that's what Californians say, but
but meanwhile, you said as a true Californian. Y'all know who the fraud is here. But yeah, I'm good. I'm having a lovely weekend. I'll say that. I'm having a very relaxing weekend. And it's great because last week was really exhausting for me. I went to South Africa for work, and while I love traveling for work is really exhausting. Or can be really exhausting, especially when it's really short. But it was my first time in South Africa. And so I spent some time like exploring Johannesburg a little bit. Exploring in quotes, honestly, because really what I was doing was exploring the food. But the food was good and affordable. Lagos, I'm side-eyeing you. Like,
bruh.
why are restaurants so expensive in Lagos? And yeah, anyway. That was a very exhausting trip, and I was still recovering from it this week. So I'm trying to relax this weekend.
Those are the non-glamorous pieces of like when you have to travel for work that people don't tell you about.
Those are the pieces people don't tell you about, seriously. And then also my life looks glamorous. And even when I'm talking to people, I'm like, oh, I was in South Africa for work like this. They're like, oh my God, what? I want your job. I'm like, no, you don't. Like, no, trust me, you want to go to South Africa for vacation. You don't exactly. want to go to South Africa to do work. I promise exactly. you. Like, when you're stuck in an airport hotel and you have to really make time to go out and see the city, otherwise you're not going to do it. And there's precious little time for you to do that. Yo, right. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying it's not as glamorous as it looks.
That's valid. That's on yeah. that, honestly.
Yeah.
Very legit. Well, I was going to ask you if you saw like Kanye and Nadia and all the South African peeps from okay. Young Rich and Young Famous in Africa.
So I met up with this friend when I was there, and she said that Kanye actually lives in her neighborhood, like around where she lives. Can you? But that's not even a crazy question, Mofi. Like,
wow.
And when I went to Santin, I was like, ooh, the richest square mile in Africa. Hey. I was like, whoa, I'm here. The streets where Kanye and friends walked, okay, to Baba.
Hey. I have arrived.
So yes, I'll definitely look out for them while I was there.
I love it. I love it. South Africa, like the different like cities and I don't know if it's called states and stuff. Like South Africa as a country, sure. is very fine. The places may have seen in with my eye, but also like correct. On TV and in pictures and everything.
Correct. That place is
just fine.
It's fine. And I was just looking again, I'm just going to throw shade to Lagos because I'm like, South Africa is even finer, as in Joburg is even finer than Lagos. And it's also more affordable to be in. Like Lagos, hello? Fix up.
God.
Lagos is looking gra-gra and you still go spend your hard-earned cash at South or RSVP or what's the new one now, Slow.
As in, she's a big, Lagos is its own thing.
It's its own
no
thing.
Comment.
It's its own place, as in.
All right. So we do have a really fun episode for you folks today where we're going to talk about cancel culture. And just all things canceling. I feel like that's a trigger word for so many people these days. And also speaking of like housemates, flatmates, people, we have one of TS's flatmates / housemates on the podcast. So Yemi's joining us to just chat about cancel culture. So hi Yemi, welcome to our fave pod.
Yes, hi ladies. Thanks for having me. Really happy to be here today.
Oh, happy to have you on.
Yes, we are. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Like T said, the weather in the Bay is blessing us. And honestly, like this is why our rent is so high. These are the days. This is the weather that makes up for it and reminds us when we're crying at other parts of the year.
Yeah.
Do you guys actually cry? I don't believe that. Cause
I feel we weep.
What's there not to believe in that?
She's like, it doesn't look like y'all are suffering.
Girl. Sometimes the tear just like stays in the eye, but it's there and it's consistent.
Like, speaking of glamorous lives, when I see the lives of people that live in the West Coast.
Wow, yeah.
I'm like,
it's nice. Please,
me too, I want.
It is nice, I'm not going to lie, but we're paying a premium for it.
Yeah.
Like, whenever we get our bills, whenever we get electricity and our water bills, we all scream in the group chat. Like,
are you serious?
It's all caps. Like, we just attack Joanne because she's the one that sends us the bill. It's not her fault, but she sends the bill, so we have to attack the messenger.
Yeah, but then we have to calm down because we're like, okay, so where are we going to move instead?
Yeah, there's like few options, right? That's another thing, yeah. So we're also lucky to be where we are. But yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, makes sense. I guess everybody's life in perspective.
Yes.
But it's beautiful out here, so we hope you come to visit soon.
Mm-hmm.
I want to. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. Let's get this remote jobs on deck.
Hey, let's get these work from anywhere jobs on deck.
Hey. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so the way I want to start this conversation is just asking you both, or asking all of us, like, when you hear cancel culture, what's like one word that comes to your mind? Or like, you could use a couple of words too. It's fair.
Me? Mm-hmm. Judgment.
Yeah, I think, Mofi, like, you're right. Like, it is such a trigger word. Like, I feel like trigger might actually be the first word. And then after justice.
Justice. Mm. Oh, okay. Interesting. Loki wants to unpack that.
Oh, we'll definitely unpack it now.
Yes, yes. I think if I could pick a word, I would say, fuck, I forgot. I had it and then I forgot.
The only word was...
Fuck. I would say not real.
Oh,
but I guess it's okay. Cancel culture. Anyways, yeah.
Okay, I feel like those are really good words to, like, you know, start to build a conversation around. Or just, yeah, mm-hmm. or just start the conversation around. Very interesting. Not real, judgment, trigger, and justice.
Yes.
Who wants to explain themselves first?
I feel like I want to hear from Yemi.
Yeah, I want to hear from Yemi.
I was actually, as you all, like, you told me the overall, like, topic, but I had no idea where you were going to be coming from, mm-hmm. right? And I know that there are lots of thoughts around cancel culture, mm-hmm. but now I get a sense from what your words are, like, what...
the vibe.
Where exactly you're coming from. We have to break down the different parts, because I don't want to leave mm-hmm. it as it depends, but mm-hmm. I think the start of it was around the Me Too movement and like mm-hmm. how it brought so many voices to the plate around things that were just being accepted in an industry for years, decades, mm-hmm. and yeah. brought them to a platform now to be called out and to have people
canceled.
Uh-huh. But I think the idea is more about accountability, mm-hmm. right? And what it ended up, you know, roller coastering into, mm-hmm. as a lot of things do with social media, was mm-hmm. being canceled as, like, anyone could be executioner.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. And so I hear the judgment mm-hmm. part of that, but I think what it initially kind of started out as, and some of the actual outcomes have actually been around justice.
Yeah. Yeah, I was curious to see where you took that, and like, I thought that that's kind of around where you were thinking, and I agree.
Yeah, I imagine that part of it was meant to be like where social media meets social justice.
Mm. Welcome to the podcast. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Tessa, why did you say judgment?
In a similar vein, I just think for me, I always see cancel culture as being this part of like the court of public opinion, right? Like, people come, you know, it's usually happening on social media. We hear this thing, or someone tweets something, or someone says something in an article, and then everybody's got an opinion, everybody jumps on it, and they're like, all right, let's dissect this, let's tear this apart. Why was this wrong? Why was this, you know, why did this not seem problematic to you? Why are we as a group now deciding to cancel this person based on this thing that they said? So for me, that's where, like, that was the first word that came to my mind, is that usually we're judging something. We're judging a thing someone said or did, or an opinion that they expressed.
And is that judgment with a neutral connotation or negative connotation?
Neutral. I think it's with a negative connotation, usually. I mean, yeah, because usually nobody's impressed by the thing that the person said, right? And people, I feel
when
like...
you said the word judgment.
Oh, for me, it was
something like negative. Judges, I feel like judges are meant to be
neutral.
Like, objective, neutral.
No, I said it from a negative connotation of not necessarily like just being a neutral judge, but being executioner.
Yeah. A lot of things are taken without context when people bring it to the
place. And I think we'll get to that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really agree with how, like, the way Yemi described cancel culture is similar to how I would describe it as, like, as what I think it is. I think it's that piece of social justice and social media. And when I think about how for many, like, Black, Indigenous, and other folks of color, there has been like limited avenues to really challenge the mainstream or the majority or the people or the folks that have power prior to social, like prior to social media really like rising, you know, true. That's where we can be like, hey, you saying the N-word or you calling women this or whatever that looks like, or you being transphobic, mm-hmm. it's not okay.
It's not okay.
And here's yeah. why. You know, and yeah. yes, maybe you shouldn't have your show on this channel anymore. Maybe yeah. you shouldn't be talking yeah. about this. You yeah. know, the reason why I said it's not real is because I think that those outcomes don't really happen. So I yeah. think that does like, okay, yeah, somebody's getting canceled, but does it really have an impact? That part, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. And I agree with you there. I do think that it has... there may be some disparities in who it has an impact on and on mm-hmm. what issues like people are more likely to be actually canceled for, right? But you are right. Yeah. Like, okay, they take the person's show off of one network. Turns out they've got a $1 million book deal, or, you know, mm-hmm. their show is on another network, or now they've got a YouTube show mm-hmm. or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to ask, like, what are the... there are some ways where it's just not real, and there are some ways that people have found a way to profit off of cancel culture
uh-huh.
with their clout. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe they get canceled in this other way, but like getting the word out, like whatever energy brought it out, like they now can afford,
yeah,
you know, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Like now they're popular too off of the cancellation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But to what Mophie was saying, it seems like cancel culture did become this movement in which people were saying that it, like the face of it was like young anti-racist POCs,
mm-hmm.
right? And it became this kind of thing with like more conservative, like folks being like, now we can't talk. Speeches,
yeah.
There's all these young people doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
There's definitely conversations within the POC community around conversation like cancel culture, right? Mm-hmm. But then this other one was like conservative versus like left young, you know, POCs, but. By and large, like the actual power, mm-hmm. right, is not to do the canceling is not in our hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In people's hands. And for the people who are crying PC, PC, like mm-hmm. everything has to be PC. No.
No.
It's just that in the past, there were tables where it was only one person at that table.
Yeah.
So you're saying trash, no one's calling you mm-hmm. out. Now social media and other platforms have made sure that other people are at the table. So if you say this offensive thing, there's someone there to be offended by.
Right. So, right. Yeah.
No, I really like that point because I think about how, or I wanted us to maybe just even go deeper into that the reason why cancel culture is viewed as this like negative thing is because I think majority of the time it's mostly like folks that are marginalized that are asking somebody good that question. Has, yeah, like, you know, or ideas that have a lot of backing by society to really challenge that. So I think about, for instance, like what I'm thinking about right now is the, for folks that like watch The Bachelor or whatever, you know, it's a case of like Chris Harrison, who used to be the host of the show, was pretty problematic, or, you know, has like, I mean, from time he's been like hella racist or has mm-hmm. like white supremacy leaning like ideologies or the ways he conducts himself or all of these things, you know, and that's quite similar to even the franchise as a whole. Anyways, long story short, he was in a conversation with Rachel Lindsay, who's this Black woman that was the first Black lead. And the way he was talking to her was just very like offensive, like racist, all of that stuff. And like people called for him to be held accountable. Like, we're in 2022, we should have another host for this show.
Yeah.
This is not how the host should be talking. How would other Black and people of color feel if this is their host and this is a person that they're supposed to feel comfortable with, and all of that stuff, which then led to him losing his job. And I say that in quotes because he lost, so he's no longer the host of the show, but he got like almost like a $10 million settlement or something, you know, from ABC. So the point I was just quickly trying to make is that there's the cases of somebody like, say, Chris Harrison that has to go through this. I wanted to make a Will Smith comparison, but I'll hold on that for now because I think of somebody else that was on the show. So I'll give an example. This is might be too much info, but just follow me for the themes, not necessarily for knowing the people.
Content, yeah.
But then there's a show, on the same show, there was this past contestant, her name is Taylor. She's a Black woman that, you know, in this whole process of trying to hold Chris Harrison accountable, people went to dig in on her social media and found very, like, offensive shit. Like, she's been racist in the sense of, like, internalized white supremacy and internalized anti-Blackness. Mm-hmm. She's been fatphobic. She, all of the things, like, all of the things that... Mm-hmm. isms and stuff. She had tweets that really said a lot of the stuff. And the followers of this show literally called for her to be canceled. And it's been interesting, like, following her and listening to how she talks about it, because the way she describes cancellation is that these people did not want to see her exist literally anymore. Mm. And then there's almost those, like, there's that difference that I think, like, canceling from, like, our perspective, like social justice folks, like activists and all of that stuff, it's holding people accountable and saying, yeah, you shouldn't get paid, or you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't be the one speaking on this, or that's offensive. But when it comes to, like, Black folks or other folks, when they get canceled, it's like people literally don't want you to exist. Because even till today, if Taylor posts anything on social media, there's people being like, why are you still listening to her? Why is, like, she lost so many deals. She lost so much shit from that. But I think of somebody like Chris Harrison, for example, this white man that got $10 million because he was canceled, in quotes. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I guess the point of the picture I'm trying to paint is just that it gets a bad rep because people want to, people want to remain protected. And at the end of the day, they still are, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. There's complete disparities in how people get canceled, like, and what, you know, what kinds of people really get disparaged, and, like, you can just see the difference in how the court of public opinion will tear down a Chris Harrison versus how, like, you almost want. Here's what I feel like I've seen on social media for a Chris Harrison type of person. There's almost like, oh, give some grace. Like, he probably did not mean to. He's not racist, la, 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 la. On a Taylor perspective, they're like, it's almost like you should know better. You know, why would you? There's more of an attack, I feel like, for Black and other, like, people, Black folks and other people of color versus when white people are being canceled. That's my take. Yeah.
I wondered, though, are there, like, what makes cancel culture, like, challenging? I think that there's, like, maybe a bit of, like, this mob, like, I think this mob mentality that maybe people feel worried about. But, you know, like, when people say, like, I don't want to say anything because, like, I don't want to get canceled. Why do you think that is the case?
Honestly, I think people are scared of being held accountable. And so that's one. I think people are scared of being held accountable. They don't really want to check themselves and their own, like, held thoughts and beliefs and, like, whether what they're saying might be. You know, people want to be able to just say what they want.
Right. It's work to be thoughtful.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the second thing I think also is that there's not a lot of nuance, especially when you're getting canceled on social media. There's not a lot of nuance in the conversations. Not saying that, like, a lot of people who have quote unquote been canceled is not really been for good reason. But sometimes I do wonder that, as Mophie said, do we want rehabilitation or do we just want people to disappear? And I feel like there's some scenarios where there can be constructive conversations versus disappear from the face of the earth for even thinking that. And maybe that's what people are scared of.
The latter, like the disappearing piece.
Yeah, the disappearing piece. It's like, you know, you almost feel like you have to delete your social media. You have to, like, never speak again on the internet. And yeah, there's some people that should not be allowed. I feel like there's some people that should not even be allowed. They just don't deserve a platform at all, right? Like, I don't think Chris Harrison deserves a platform. I don't think Harvey Weinstein deserves a platform in any way, form, shape, or manner. He should never be allowed to make movies again. Mm-hmm. He can walk down the street, though. I don't care. Like, I don't know. You know, but I'm just saying that, like, there's some times where the conversations can be more nuanced, where we can try to be having conversations about differences in opinions versus, bruh, you think wrong, and so shut up and never speak again.
Definitely.
Yeah. But people should also be willing to be, like, you should not be allowed to be transphobic, homophobic, racist, and then not have people check you. That's another thing. Like, people want to also be able to express those things as opinions.
Right, right.
And then not be held accountable for holding those opinions that are harmful to a group of people. They're harmful to livelihoods. So you should not, I'm not saying that, like, you should disappear from the face of the earth, but you should be held accountable for holding those opinions or for having, because those opinions cause harm, especially when it comes from people who sit in powerful spaces. You know, it'll be coming from people who have millions of followers, who have lots of influence, who have lots of pulls. Like, I don't really feel like, you know, stating names on podcasts, but for the sake of actually holding accountable, like, folks like J.K. Rowling, you know, like, you need to be able to be held accountable. You can't just say what you want to say because you want to say it.
I agree with that. I think there are people, like, depending on the person, some people, the people who say I'm afraid to say something, some people it's because they don't want to lose their check, right? They're like, I'm afraid to, like, just say this one thing and all of a sudden now, like, all of my deals, all of these things I've worked for, like, you know, I don't have control of, like, losing them. There are other people who might genuinely be worried that they have not maybe thought of things from every perspective. And now when you step onto a platform, you have to be prepared. Like, people are going to be like, so why didn't you think of that?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, there's, like, general, like, okay, like, from a human perspective, like, let's not, like, promote violence. Let's not, you know, do these things. But there's some other more nuanced things that it's like, this was deeply offensive to someone, but because maybe you've never walked this, right? You genuinely may just not just realize that, right? And being aware of the fact that there's so many potential scenarios now, the likelihood of, you know, one person maybe, like, mistaking that is fairly high, right? And so I think there might be some genuine fear, not coming from, because some people will use that excuse and be like, well, you know, I just didn't know, but you could still ascertain that, like, this was just, like, an insensitive comment to make. But there's some other ones that I think there's genuine fear, right, around just missing, you know, just not seeing it.
Yeah.
I also think about how, like, I wonder how, like, global or how collective canceling can be, because I think that's another, like, layer to this conversation, or to why maybe people feel hesitant about cancel culture. I remember, like, Tessa, even at the beginning of when we're talking, the word you use was judgment. Like, you feel like it's quite judgmental, and I wonder, like, if that's because sometimes, like, say somebody does something wrong and you come on social media and you see that everybody is talking about this thing and this person and all of that. I feel like sometimes people feel like, oh wow, so do I have a choice? Like do I have a choice in this conversation? Like, do I have a choice to decide if I'm canceling, say, J.K. Rowling, for example, or is it something that I just have to, like,
have
get
to do
on board with? And I think that's another part of
that's
it.
That's another piece of
lest
it.
Lest you become canceled.
Lest you.
Exactly.
And you may not be irrelevant. You may not be relevant enough to be canceled, you know, on a wide scale. But, you know, if your friends cancel you too, like, that's important. Or your immediate, like, followers on social media. That's really, that's a good point, Mufi.
Yeah, so I wonder about that. I think that people are scared to not also then, like, be in the know or even understand. I think one day recently I was talking about J.K. Rowling and just saying how, like, she was canceled, and somebody, like, around me was like, oh, actually, let's talk about that because I don't really know. I don't really understand. Like, isn't she just saying whatever? And yeah, so I think that people sometimes also don't know, and that could be a reason why cancel culture also gets this, like, bad rep, is that maybe there's less space for nuance in communicating what's going on.
Exactly. That's true. Because you jump on, you kind of see, you can maybe sort of piece some things together. You still don't understand, though, but you don't know that tomorrow you can't really go in a room and be like, you know, I so much love J.K. Rowling. No, she's been canceled.
You're like, oh, what?
Like, oh, what? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but how do we as a society go about that, though? I'm curious to hear both of y'all's thoughts, if you do have any, on, like, yeah, like how can cancel culture in quotes be done well?
I think one place to start is the two questions are, does it work? And if mm-hmm. it works, is it right? And I think one place to start is focusing less on like having a person disappear and more on the action or the speech that was problematic or hurtful, and try to really like paint the picture of understanding as to why this is damaging. Right? Because I think a lot, like when people push back on it or say this is infringing, right, is because they're not in some way not able or not willing to connect with the human part of why this is actually violent or hurtful or whatever it is. And so being able to focus more on that as opposed to like, okay, this person just needs to disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. I think that's a really solid point in that. I mean, it's sometimes it's hard to separate the idea from the person, but mm-hmm. is the issue, you know, that person, because there'll still be people like them that hold mm-hmm. those ideas. So like, why don't we address the reason why that idea should be cancelled, actually? Maybe these the ideas mm-hmm. that need to be cancelled, right? Not necessarily the people for holding those ideas, but what those people should understand is why those ideas are harmful and violent, and why you shouldn't be, what's the word, espousing them, I don't know, or holding them. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, imagine if somebody got cancelled and they're like, you know what, actually, like, I agree with that, like, this aspect of the way I think or the way I've acted, like, yeah, should be cancelled. Especially if we then connect it to the bigger picture, that is there an instance, except for like certain folks, that and sometimes when we think of cancellation, I think that we also don't think about how sometimes people are committing crimes. Like when I think of so many like sexual offenders, if that's the right terminology, you know, I think of the Nigerian community where so many artists are fucking like, they're like sexually harassing, and you know, so there's also that aspect of things that literally is just a crime. So you know, do what we do with that, but fuck, I keep on losing my train of thoughts. But what I was gonna say is that, you know, imagine if people then like, you know, take on that responsibility or that accountability and say, yeah, what I said, or yeah, what I said is fucked up. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be acting in this way, because the truth is that like these things also don't happen for a long time. Like as we've kind of talked about, the long term impact on these mm-hmm. individuals are not always lasting. They are lasting in community though, because those ideas still remain. Like if we then continue to use a J.K. Rowling, for example, even if like, I don't mean my opinion, she's not even canceled. She's even, J.K. Rowling is even now more relevant than she would ever have been, which is so fucking
annoying. Ridiculous. I think that's another thing that annoys me about cancel culture sometimes. It's very difficult. Like I said, unless J.K. Rowling was committing what is seen as a crime, it's very hard to cancel somebody. Like, she's an institution. It's so hard to effectively cancel J.K. Rowling, you know? If we're going to start thinking of how we can, like, effectively implement cancel culture, it's true. They just end up becoming way more relevant.
Yeah, that's why I think we've seen, like, a serious increase of people intentionally doing problematic things. Because that's mm-hmm. one easy way to get clout, right? And knowing that mm-hmm. the kind of mind of social platforms it renews so quickly. Uh-huh. It's like, okay, like yeah, this is gonna hurt for a few seconds. People are gonna write, you know, read comments, and then at the end of the day, like I'm more relevant than I was
before.
Yeah, even Chris Rock now, like uh-huh. nobody would have been talking about him. Anyways, I digress for the point.
Like who? Bringing it back to Chris Rock.
The point I wanted to also make is that I think that people, like, we live in a society where people are obsessed with like these celebrities, because like literally, so any like form of critique against them, people then feel personally critiqued as well.
Correct.
Like if I use Chimamanda as an example, I think that the reason why it's so hard to get the point across is that people feel so like as if Chimamanda, if not for Chimamanda, would never have known what feminism is about. Like, right. That's the way, like, people feel like she has been the amazing Lord and Savior in our West African/African/Black, whatever, feminist circles, that it's so hard
to critique her.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that way, right? Like, for this, it shouldn't be that way. People should not be so... whatever, so held up on a pedestal like that, that we cannot critique their ideas. Chimamanda can hold harmful ideas as well. She's exactly. Like...
But on the other side of that, this is reminding me of something that, like, Adele was saying in terms of finding role models in these type of celebrities, in terms of, like, in connection with being super obsessed and involved in people's everyday lives. These people mm-hmm. have become famous for maybe singing, maybe acting, maybe writing, whatever artistry they do, and now they're also expected to be role models and leaders in their own right. To what extent is that fair or is that not fair when they're really good at this thing, they love this thing, that's what brought them fame, that's what we appreciate, and now we're like, they also need to be this whole other thing that maybe they were never trained or never were interested in being held up to.
Yeah, I get that. I hear that, but... The point is that a lot of people tend to just have a platform so that when they share their opinions, mm-hmm. it reaches millions of people and mm-hmm. it has ripple effects.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not saying like they're allowed to be human, right. But part of being human is also being held accountable. Right. Do you understand? Like, they shouldn't, yeah.
Yeah.
We're just so obsessed with the idea of celebrity. Like, you love Beyonce so much that if somebody critiques something that Beyonce has said, rightfully so, you then feel personally attacked. So it's hard to have a conversation on social media about something Beyonce said, because now people are going to be like, exactly. Are you stupid? How can you be saying that about Beyonce? Because, like, I'm a Beyonce fan. What do you think that say about me?
Exactly. And I think that's where it all comes back to, that it becomes about individual people, like people yeah. then now start like inserting themselves or projecting or whatever, and then they feel personally responsible for the actions of this other person.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the issue just comes, like I think that's where this whole conversation of yeah. like, that's where we all like wrap it up and tie it down. I think people just yeah. need to become less attached to their people. Mm-hmm. And just see them as like, I agree that I don't think that people should be put on this pedestal. They're not like the people, they make mistakes, they have harmful ideas, perfect. Like all of these things. Yeah. But can people say, yo, what you just said is fucked up? And I think there's also another layer of normalizing that it's okay to be scared, because if people are piling on you, it is scary. Or it's okay to be scared to like make a mistake or receive criticism. Like we're all scared of it.
Yeah, it's not like everybody's just here like, I love to get critiqued.
Or yeah, like, oh, I love to be told that something I believed in is wrong. You know, like,
yeah.
I think we also need to normalize that, because maybe then that makes it less like, you know, all these comedians or people that are like, I can't say anything. It's like, it's okay to know that like, you're going to make a mistake, or maybe something you're going to say is offensive because this is how you've been raised. This is what you've been told. So maybe embrace that and find your community that could still insulate you or protect you even while you're going through like shit like that. I'm not saying that it's not scary or whatever, but and half the time these people have so much money to even like act like it's like to somehow insulate themselves as well. So at the expense of actual like people that are currently marginalized, like I have very little empathy when it comes to this type of stuff. But I wanted to ask you guys two questions before we wrap this conversation up. First of all, are there people that you have canceled, like that you've canceled?
We were talking about it yesterday. I will never listen to another Chris Brown song. As far as I'm concerned, Chris Brown is canceled. Mm-hmm. Chris Brown has been canceled since I saw a photo of Rihanna.
Photo of Rihanna.
Chris Brown has been, you guys understand, like, it was not even difficult for me. I did not need to go, you know, I don't know, I wasn't really using social media then, but Chris Brown has been cancelled for me. I no longer follow his music or nothing like that. That's my person. I'm sorry because he's black, but like, no. I know.
Why are you apologizing?
I know, why am I apologizing? I'm like, well, I'm low-key frustrated that is now like my one canceled person is a POC. I can't do it.
Yemi, do you have anybody that you've canceled?
If you say Chloe Bailey, I kill you.
What's wrong with you?
Why did you cancel Chloe?
I did not cancel Chloe. I have so much heart for her. I think she's an amazing artist. What are you talking about? We had a private conversation.
We did. It doesn't need to come up. It doesn't need to come up.
Okay. Okay, I want to know offline.
Yes.
That's a whole different conversation in the industry. But I don't know. The person that comes to mind is Doja Cat, but she's not even fully canceled. That's another thing, right? It's like you can recognize like there's some people where I'm like, oh, I feel like I need to cancel this person. Why do they have this like box? Because I'm like, Doja Cat is one of those people where I'm like, she must have just only intended to be an artist. Why is she like speaking?
Oh, okay.
Why? Like, because she doesn't seem prepared or like to care about any of the, which is fine if you're like a private citizen. You're not posting these things that are harmful to other people or like extra.
Ah, interesting. Doja Cat. See me, I don't know. I'm like, ah, Doja Cat's canceled. I have no idea.
I love it.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
I love it because like, the one thing, like, whenever I think about cancel culture, I think it's very important to have as part of our society. But, and at the same time, I think that people can, and how it could be, I don't know, I say this, like, mostly thinking about talking to Black people, is that how it can work well is that, like, you choose your spectrum. Like, literally, I think it's fair for it to happen on a spectrum with, like, obviously knowledge and guidance. But for me, I have so many people that I've canceled or, like, canceled-ish.
Yeah.
Because I can't stand nonsense or, like, annoying nonsense. Like, so, for example, like, Chris Brown is somebody that I've canceled as well. Sometimes.
Sometimes you do be buffing.
You'd be making songs with like Davido, for example.
It's so fortunate, like exactly. Because as I'm just saying, I don't listen to Chris Brown. I for sure listen to Davido, though.
It's unfortunate that he's so talented. Like,
I hate it.
He's so talented.
Yeah, I've also canceled Brymo.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so talented, and it's unfortunate that I've canceled him.
Canceled Brymo. Cancel the band, like I can't.
Oh yeah,
like,
I don't listen to the band.
Not even trying to listen to the band, and it's uncomfortable when you go to like all of these spaces and everybody's playing the band. And sometimes you then find yourself bobbing to you like, shit, this guy is an abuser. He hates women. You know, so there's people like that. Chimamanda, I could not like literally. There's no amount of less I could care about anything she does or writes right now. I appreciate the knowledge that she shared, but like. There's so much knowledge out there. So there's people like that. There's other people.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about it. My list is so long. Because I might be going to Twitter being like, unfollow.
Literally.
Don't waste time. What? Unfollow. Don't worry. I don't need to write a think piece on the thing that you just said. I just never need to see it again. And I never need to entertain you in my spaces, right?
Yeah.
Do you then get stressed if someone else... Do you then get stressed if someone else hasn't canceled? Like someone that's close to you hasn't canceled this person?
So I don't get stressed, but I'd be side eyeing them when the person I've unfollowed, I'd be seeing you retweeting them onto my page. But
gay? What if they're not aware of the reason why you canceled them?
That's why I said I side eye, because they may not know why I've canceled them. Maybe they've not seen the same thing I've seen or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how I just, you know, I can't, honestly, Kanye West. Is like mostly canceled to me.
Moderately canceled
to me. Because he's like, I don't know whether I should keep Kanye West canceled or not. So anyway, Kanye West is one of those people that teeters, right? But then my brother Kanye West is carrying on his head like, you know, exactly. So it's like,
it really depends, you.
it do be depending.
Literally. Now when I see people just bring those people, I'll just be like, show fewer tweets from.
Yes,
like, just don't let me see this bullshit.
The word Kanye, the letters that make up his name is muted on my Instagram. You tweet Kanye, I don't see it. Okay. I don't see it. Allow me to listen to Donda in peace. I don't want to see what he's doing. I don't want to see what he's doing on the internet. I don't want to see it.
Exactly.
I'm curious from our listeners, though, if y'all want to share with us who you've cancelled and why.
I would love that.
I can't wait to. Okay, we gotta put it on Instagram. Y'all gotta share with us who you've cancelled and why.
Mm-hmm.
Just us.
My last question: are you guys afraid of ever being cancelled?
Yeah. for me, it was more so about that. So there, like, there was this period where after Black Lives Matter, there were so many kind of issues that were being brought to the forefront, different countries, different cultures. And it felt like there was a time where it's like, if you did not somehow post about this other thing, even though there were so many issues, it's like, okay, so you're not carrying the same energy. Do you actually care? Okay. Like, oh, so you only care about certain people.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
I have opinions, but that one is one that I'm like, okay, like, I actually do care, right? So if it now, if I'm being canceled about something like this, it would hurt.
Okay, yeah. Me, am I scared of getting canceled? I won't lie. There's so many tweets in my drafts that I'm like, if I tweet this, not that I genuinely think I'll get canceled. I don't think I'm important enough to get canceled. But I'm like, if I tweet this, might somebody read it and like cancel me in the house? You know, like they read it. What's this one saying? And it's not because I think what I'm about to tweet is problematic or offensive. God forbid those type of tweets be in my draft. But just maybe, like, shows like a lack of knowledge or something. You know, I'm scared of that one. I'm not gonna lie. Right. So I'm gonna keep it in my group chat, and in my, you know, I'm gonna talk to my friends, and if my friends, and then I'm okay to be held accountable by my community.
Right. Exactly.
Because what we don't want is for people to just completely silence themselves.
Yes.
That's not where growth, where learning comes from, right? So everyone needs their spaces where they feel like they can be like, hey, this is a thought that I had or whatever, or maybe I thought this was funny, and then your friends are like,
no, there's a reason this should not be
funny. I see why that was funny, or this is why, like, this is, you know, other impacts that it's having.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly, which is, yeah, that's, I relate with that, because that's what I'm, that's where I'm aligned as well. Like, I think I'm scared of either like getting something wrong or not really like representing it up properly, and stuff like that, or just coming off as like, what's this one talking about?
Yeah, what's this one talking about? I fear that one bigly.
What's this one saying?
What's this one saying? And then it's like, you know, my standing on social media is like insignificant enough where the person might not actually say it to me, right?
No.
Or if I just imagine that someone might be like, what's this one saying? Even on the podcast, I'm worried about that all the time. And like these things that Mofi and I put out there, I wonder who's listening being like, okay, so what's this one saying?
No, it's a big deal to be hosting a podcast like this day in and day out. I have to give you all your props, man, because having the confidence and like the passion to still be like, hey, like I want to like have a space where we can discuss these things.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to come and cancel us. Maybe in their homes, but they'll just be like, we just don't want to listen to these people anymore.
Yeah. Or when we blow, though, when we blow, someone will find a reason to be like, ew, though. That's when we'll actually hear the negative comments. Like, when we have millions of listeners, then there'll be thousands to be like, what are you saying? Actually, someone already came for us in IG, in DMs.
Oh.
They didn't come for us, but they were like, you know, why are you saying this thing like this? Like, we had to explain an opinion stance that we had. Do you remember?
And were you like,
no,
wow, this
I
is
don't.
Flattering
because
you're actually coming
out. I know, I was like, oh, I'm popular.
Like, even now I'm like, oh really, tell me more, I don't remember.
Oh,
wow,
interesting.
Yeah,
because when people are at a certain level, you could just opt out.
Yeah, like, you could just opt out, right? Yeah,
but then I guess when they get to too big of a level, you're like, yo, that, either one, I can't opt out, I'm seeing you everywhere.
Yeah,
done, or the amount of people, even if I'm not seeing you, I know that you have a giant platform.
Yeah,
and you know, a lot of people can be potentially harmed by this.
Yeah
Awesome. Well, this is where we'll leave it at.
All right. Now on to my favorite part of the podcast. Here are a few of our favorite things. And given that we have a guest today, we're going to let her go first and tell us some of her favorite things.
I love that, actually. This week, I've been, and I know I'm late on this, but there's this actress, Lana Condor. I really love her, and she got engaged to her longtime boo, Anthony De La Torre, and I just, like, I love them so much.
For all the non-Lana Condor fans, she's the lead into All the Boys I've Loved Before.
Yeah,
look at movie.
She's finding, she has her real life love. It's so sweet. J-Lo also got engaged and
Well, are you a J-Lo fan?
I appreciate J-Lo, but she, you know, the engagement stuff.
Who did J-Lo get engaged to?
Ben Affleck now. They're back.
Ben Affleck.
Then got engaged to him again.
Wonderful. Congrats.
Like.
Okay, so your highlights this week are all love.
The love. Yeah, Camila Cabello also dropped an album.
I'm back.
Movie was like, nah, 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 it's enough. She dropped an album. She dropped an album. I thought you shouldn't podcast with your friends, bro. So professional. Album. What's the name of her album?
Familia. Also
amazing. Mofi, have you listened to it?
No, please. Camila is cancelled. I'm paid.
Oh, yes! Where is Camila? Oh.
I don't listen to Camila Cabello. I don't even remember why.
Hey,
she's cancelled, kind of, because kind of. I think she was mean to Normani when they were in Fifth Harmony. And
no.
Camila be moving funny sometimes.
It's true.
So she's cancelled in some circles.
This is what happens when you don't remember. I'm not like going to be doing research on her, but she's the girl can sing. Edit that one out.
No.
How does this work? Can you
nuance?
You know what people talk about? Hey, scrub that one. Scrub that one.
We don't do that here. We don't scrub.
Oh my god.
But that was, I feel like that perfectly tied in. Like, that was just perfect based on our conversation. You're like, yeah, Camila was like, oh. She's cancelled.
Period.
Oh my god.
But speaking of love, Mr. Easy and Timmy got engaged.
Really?
Yes. Whoa. Today, maybe it's odd some hour or so before we start podcasting.
What?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cute.
Yes. Cute. Those ones are not cancelled.
Those ones are not cancelled. For now.
For now. Because can't trust rich people and can't trust African men. So
you can't trust rich people and African men. They're going to find a reason why we need to cancel them.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. All right, Mofi, take us away.
Okay, so what the first thing on my highlights is a book. It's called Miss Me With That by Rachel Lindsay, my queen, who is like, I'm sure she's cancelled in many people's circles, honestly. But love me some Rachel. She has her book is essentially like different essays about different times in her life, and she's just writing about love, like, you know, touches on being the bachelorette and everything, but really, really fun. I really enjoyed it, actually. And she narrated the audiobook, so it was nice to listen to her talk. Yes. Okay, I'm not going to steal one of your highlights, TSS, so I'll not speak on it until when you do. Another thing that's on my list is this, like, it's this, like, deck of affirmation cards by this, like, I guess she's a writer. She's on Instagram as well, Morgan Harper Nichols. Mm-hmm. She does, like, these little, like, affirmation writings, like, on Instagram, and typically she would, like, make it into print. Yeah. And or would also, I think she also paints or like designs, so she would paint like a background or whatever. She's really, really cool.
She sings.
Yes. I don't know if she sings shit, but
she does.
She does.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's how I knew her first.
Yeah, Yamin knew her as a musician. I was like, wait, what? Like
back in the day. And now I was like, wait, she's a, like, she does painting now?
Multi-talented. Oh. I so much love
Hella. Yeah, so my friend had gotten me like a deck of like 365, I think. Or something, shy deck of cards, and each week I just kind of like pick it up and like read it. I also post it on my Instagram, Mophie's Edition. So like
plug,
you can check it out.
Plug.
Yes. So there's that. And then there's also your Tessa. You talked about like lo-fi, like was it lo-fi girl or something?
Yes, girl.
Anytime I just need to stay focused, actually, yes. Like if my mind is everywhere and I just need to do work and stay focused, I'd be playing me some lo-fi music, and wow, it's like magic.
It's so like good. Magic. It's so, so good. Good. It's so good. Y'all, if you don't already do this, I'm telling you, up your focus game by that much. Very accessible on YouTube. If you already have YouTube, Apple Music,
or Spotify, yeah.
Whatever you listen to music with, just search lo-fi. It doesn't have to be lo-fi, girl, but like lo-fi beats, lo-fi sounds. Mm-hmm.
Or like even like sometimes I'll do like morning lo-fi. Like depending on even what I'm looking for, I'd be searching lo-fi though. Working out lo-fi, everything lo-fi.
Movies expanded the use. Yes.
Yes. And then the last thing is this new reality TV show Ultimatum. We're talking about this earlier, but I'd be watching it kind of sort of, but since everybody's talking about it, to just stay relevant for our podcast to be relevant, I'm adding it to the list of my favorite things.
Yes, we watch
because, it because watch it, we love it. Everybody should watch. Those are my highlights.
Love it, love it. Okay, I'm gonna close us out. So I'll start my first highlight with something Mufi was going to say, and we talked about it this week, which is Rema's new album.
Yes,
my boy is just talented. Okay, he doesn't know what to do with it. Actually, he knows what to do with this. He just keeps putting out bangers,
bangers.
Keep giving them to us, please,
bruh. Like, that album is so good. Like, this starts with Divine.
Oh,
and
God.
It's just such a great intro to the album. Like,
Divine, Divine.
Shout out to Rema. Shout out to Maven. Okay, Maven Supremacy. Maven is working hard, okay? He's like, wait, I don't know about that.
Is Maven cancelled?
I don't know if Maven is canceled. Okay, Rema is not canceled for now. So.
On this day we're recording.
Please, whenever you're listening to it, Maven ends up being canceled. But yeah, I love the new album. Mofi, do you have any favorite songs?
Divine is my favorite song, honestly.
I keep going back to plays. I also
addicted.
Really love Time and
Attention. Isn't Time and Attention? Doesn't it have Chris Brown on it? I said she doesn't listen to Chris Brown.
Look.
She literally said, I do not listen. Not that I hardly or I seldom.
I mean, I do not.
And how do you feel about your faves like collaborating with him when they too have seen the images?
I can't counsel everybody.
Exactly, that's what I asked right now. Everybody cannot be canceled, I guess.
Okay, I'm keeping it with music. Sungba remix with Asake and Burna Boy. I've just been playing it. Burna Boy
is canceled, but we'll still listen to him, but he's canceled, I guess.
Burna Boy is basically Kanye West.
He's just annoying. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like Kanye West. The man just be annoying.
However, that's Love. My remix video and the song Love.
I swear.
Look, Love. Yeah. It's a vibe.
Whenever I was like, giving us like
I was like Okay, my last two are TV on Netflix, Bridgerton season 2. What's up to all my Bridgerton fans?
Okay.
Season 2 was lovely. I just want to quickly give a shout out to the actress that played Kate Edwina. Gorgeous, gorgeous girls. I love the acting. I loved all the like injection of culture. I don't know, for folks who've read the Bridgerton books, they're very white. Okay, they're very, very white. In some ways, they just have like some problematic ideals based on when they were written. And it's so nice to see the show kind of bring it into the modern era and just like, you know, I'm just watching a show where it's not only white people who can fall in love, you know, and it's just diverse. It's lovely. The music is great. The story is heartfelt and touching, and y'all should watch it.
That's my
soapbox. And my last thing is School of Chocolate, also on Netflix. I love watching shows with people baking, cooking, all the above. And this one is so sweet because it's not even, it's more like they're at school and they're learning how to work with chocolate, right? So there is a grand prize at the end, but at the end of the whole thing, they've all gained so much knowledge that's like worth a lot that obviously I'm sure they're bummed to not, the person who didn't win or the people who didn't win were bummed, but they've just gained so much knowledge. So it was nice to watch. It was kind of refreshing. It wasn't like cutthroat, overly dramatic. It was just this guy who's super skilled at chocolate teaching other pastry chefs how to do the same. It's so sweet. I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's me.
Thank you.
That is our episode. If y'all have hung out with us thus far, thank you so much. Yemi, thank you for hanging with us.
This has been so fun.
Yes. Thanks for coming back to the podcast. If you have made it this far, we'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe to our Favorite Things on Apple Podcasts. Favorite is spelled with a U. We're also on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, wherever else you listen, and on your social media, Twitter and Instagram at OurFavePods. Yemi, do you want to tell the people where to find you?
Ooh.
Or plug something. Plug something.
Well, you can find me at This Is Yems on Instagram.
Okay, This Is Yems.
That's my main platform for now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Okay. Mophie, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Miss Badmus and on Instagram at Miss Badmus and Mophie's Edition.
Yes. Go read all Mophie's thoughts about the books that she's reading. They're fire.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TIIESE. You can also read my travel blog, samefootprints.com. Until next time, y'all, stay safe, be kind, and don't forget to find something to be grateful for. Bye.